Anyway, let's get into God's Word this morning. We're going to talk about mothers make a difference. Mothers make a difference. If you're wanting to know where we're going to be, Proverbs 31. I guess I'll let you go ahead and turn there, and you'll have that when we get there. Proverbs chapter 31. How many of you have a mother? Very good. Just seeing if you're alert today or not. All right. Mothers make a difference, positive or negative. What will your legacy be? Greatest influence in society are mothers. They train the next generation. So the question is, or the quote has been made, I should say, by William Wallace. He says, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." Now, our society today is often underrating the value of motherhood. They're almost ridiculing mothers for taking the time that it takes to raise their own children for the Lord. Raising your children is raising a soul for all eternity. And so with that in mind, I want to bring you to another thought. Being a mom is a long-term, heavy-duty, industrial-strength commitment. So the question comes up in 2025. Yeah, but who wants to give up the opportunities for self-fulfillment and fun? Yeah, but who wants to devote the best years of your life to changing diapers and wiping snotty noses? Who wants to be tied down? Isn't that the... Sounds like we're on the air. All right. Society today doesn't want, young ladies today don't want to take the time to raise kids, to be tied down, to go through all the trouble that they are. They want to be kids themselves. They want to stay being kids. But moms, thank you. Thank you for taking on the greatest responsibility in the world. Thank you for taking the time to raise children for the next generation, to raise souls for you Christian moms, to love the Lord and to grow up for Him. Today's society often belittles a dedicated mother who takes that God-given calling to be a housewife, to make one feel like less of a success if they're not out advancing their professional careers. And so God says in Psalm 127, verse 3, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." If you notice the bulletin covers today, they actually had that verse on them. But children are a fruit of the children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Professor Tony Capolo related to how his wife handled the situation to the remarks she received when she went to certain social gatherings. Inevitably, he said, some lawyer or sociologist would come up to my wife and say, "And what is it that you do, my dear?" Campolo's wife would respond, "Well, I am socializing two Homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian traditions in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the teleological prescribed utopia inherent of the eschaton." Campolo said that when she followed up with, "And what is it that you do?" the person's response, "A lawyer," just wasn't that overpowering. I really believe that motherhood is a very worthy calling. God has called you to have children. I hope that you see them as a blessing, a heritage from the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 31, it's known as the chapter of the virtuous woman. And in it is pictured some wisdom as to what God says a successful woman is. How many, if I was to ask the question, what is a successful woman? If I were to ask that question today, hands would come up in here and we would get all kinds of answers, probably more spiritual, biblical answers from the crowd today. But can you imagine what the world would have to say about what a successful woman would be? Now, the problem with Proverbs 31, there's nothing wrong with the chapter. There's nothing wrong with what God says a virtuous woman should be, but many times people pick and choose a verse or two out of there, and then they try to apply it to what the world says a mother should be. But As you read this passage today, I notice that there's three priorities in a virtuous woman. And here they are. The priorities are God, husband, and family. God, husband, and family. If you look that there. Now, we were talking in the adult Sunday school class today, and I probably have some of it in the evening service, but what was God's plan for mankind when he created him? Remember, to replenish the earth, he was supposed to till it and take care of it. In other words, take care of what God had given to them. And then he created the woman because it wasn't good that man should be alone. And what did God task the woman with? Serving God and taking care of his creation along with being a helpmeet to Adam. So they were co-equal. They were partners. They were doing the work of God together. No one was better than the other one. No one was domineering. No one was, there was no problems. This is the way God intended it to be, a perfect team. One making up for the other, where their good qualities, you know, they had good qualities, she had good qualities, and together they made all good qualities to be able to accomplish the work. But when sin stepped into the picture, what happened? Division entered in. And now, who wants to follow that guy? And vice versa, and we have trouble in the homes. But God, all along, intended for us to be able to serve him, to raise a family, and to love one another. So in chapter 31 of Proverbs, I want to read to you verses 10 through 31. And Lord, I pray that you help my mind to come clear so that all the words will be clear. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, and not evil all the days of her life. You see, she seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. And she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. And she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land, and she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. You see, favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Quite the lady. There are few and far between those who put God first, husband, and family. The message is, mothers make a difference, positive or negative. What will your legacy be? Under the first point, I put mothers influence positively or properly when they're waiting on God. When your life is built around the Lord Jesus Christ, it changes the whole outlook of your life and all those around you. In verses 10 through 19, we see here how she works hard for God and her family. You know, she is there up early. Did you see that there? She's making the clothes. She's seeking good deals. She's seeking the bargains. You know, someone once said, if you want to solve the national debt, just find a young mother to take over. They've learned how to work on, they learn how to work on a budget. They learn how to be frugal. They learn how to take care of things. And so she does. Why? Because she loves her family. You suppose that all of this relates to love? I think love is a key word in all of this. She loves God. She loves her husband. She loves her family. She works hard. The Bible says here that her candle goeth not out by night. Well, what does that mean? Well, she stays up all night watching TV. No, I don't think that's what it's about. She stays up late making sure everything's ready. Ready for the next day, right? And then what is she doing the next day? Early in the morning, she's working hard, getting things ready for another successful day. How many of you have noticed that it takes a lot of hours with kids? You don't have 8 to 5 with kids. You do have 8 to 5 and then 5 to 8. It's a constant thing. But she does it because she loves it. And so she works hard for her family. In verse 20, it says here that not only does she work hard for her family, but she stretches out her hand to the poor and to the needy. She isn't just throwing it out there on just any on the lazy. Did you see anything about the lazy? But those that are poor and needy, she's willing to even give to them. And as we move on, she plans ahead in verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. In North Dakota, you better be ready. I got some interesting statements at the end I want to share with you, but my mom was always worried about me making sure I had my coat and my gloves or my mittens and everything when I left the house in the morning to go to school or wherever I was going. And she was always so concerned that I would have those. Why? Because it's cold. So what happened if I came home without my gloves? Well, there was a reckoning. What'd you do with those things? They were trying to find them, but the next day I left with gloves. They may be big. They may be dad gloves. They may be the work chore gloves. You know, all the farmers had the disposables. They wouldn't last long, so they may as well have been disposable. They weren't really meant to be. But that's what they would be in my sticking out of my coat pockets because they're too big. How many of you moms care about your kids enough to prepare so that they have what they need before it happens? Being a good mom takes planning. In verse 22, I thought this was interesting. It says she makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. In other words, she takes care of herself. She doesn't let herself go. Some might say that. She cares. I put down here, a lot of ladies are only interested in their health, but they're not interested in their families. Not really interested in anything else. But this virtuous woman is interested in her family as well as taking care of herself. Her appearance is modest, respectable. It seems here like she wants to look like a lady, as it says in the verse. As I go on to verse 23, she allows her husband to succeed in his position because her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. In other words, when you're sitting amongst the elders, he would be a judge of the city. He would be a leader. He would be a man of prominence. You know what men have, ladies? One-track minds. So, well, I knew that. So, if he's sitting worrying about all the problems at home, in the home life and his family life and everything's falling apart, you know how good a man is at leading or doing his job? Absolutely worthless. So if a man has a good wife, then that man can go ahead and take care of his responsibilities. Now, I know you women are multitask and you think about a million things all the time and how you do it. I do not know. When my wife reminds me of all the things that's going on in her mind, I blow a fuse. I'm going, you know, it's kind of like, I'm not wired for this, you know, one input at a time. It's kind of like when you cross-circuit your PA system and it goes, whoop. So she's working on all these things in her mind. She's got all this organization going on, and you organize, ladies. I know I probably frustrate you, but what you get is what you get, and you just have to make do. But with a guy, you know what, if he has a wife at home that he knows is taking care of his family, she loves him. He doesn't have to worry about other things. She's not all caught up in pleasure, but caught up in the pleasure of taking care of and raising the family and doing that which is right. He can rest assured that all he has to do is his job. And that's why when they come home and go like, huh, must be nice not having to work. You know, guys, you're not thinking straight. They're working hard so that you can work hard and you can do what God created you to do. Make sense? And so what a wonderful thing. I just put down she's beneficial to her husband. His mind's at work, not on his family business. She is financially beneficial to the home. It says here that she's industrious versus a spender. How quickly can a wife outspend her husband's earning ability? Or how quickly can a wife stretch the little that he makes? As I went to verse 25 and 28, I saw that she has a godly character. It says, strength and honor are her clothing. Can you relate the difference between a woman who is all about self What would her clothing be? That which would be all about her. But strength and honor are what really make her stand out for a virtuous woman. She shall rejoice in the time to come. You see, she opened her mouth with wisdom. How many times have you heard someone give their opinion and it wasn't wisdom? With that in mind, ladies, with the wisdom that you share, is it biblical wisdom? Is it God's wisdom? Or is it better left unsaid? It says, in her tongue is the law of kindness. I guess I could have preached the message on any of these. I'm just bouncing across them because I really believe that they're self-explanatory. I mean, what is the law of kindness? It doesn't say here the law of appeasement. This doesn't mean that she tells her kids, well, whatever you do, that's fine. But there is a law of kindness. Is there a way to handle all the things you say within the bounds of the law of kindness? I believe there is. And this lady has worked very hard on whatever she has to say, and whatever biblical advice she has to give, it's always within the law of kindness. In verses 20, we also see here, verse 27, she looketh to the way of her household. Now, how is that godly? Well, if children are a heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is his reward, God has given them to her to take care of. And she only has them for how long? How long do you have your kids? You know, it's like, oh, when are they ever going to grow up? But you only say that for 2 days, and then you're going like, what happened? They grew up. And then mom's going like, oh, they're all leaving me. I'm all by myself. And you know, why? Because you've invested your life into them. But you want them to go out, don't you? You want them to be something for the Lord. You don't want to have to take care of them for the rest of their life. You want them to go out and serve God. So, you know what? She looketh to the ways of her household, and she eateth not the bread of idleness. Because if she's idle now, she'll be busy for the rest of her life. I'll just leave it that way. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. You know what? Mothers may not always know all the details that are going on in their kids' lives, but they love them. They're doing the best to guide them and direct them in the things that God wants them to do. If you're a godly mother, you want them to grow up to love the Lord and serve him. But you know, mothers are also blind. They always see the good in their kids. Now, I saw this TV program, What Would Kids Do? And they get these three parents, three different families, and they have a little kid. And they put the little kid in the school, and they put him into a scenario and say, what's your kid going to do? They got a little robot that tries to get the kids to take cookies without asking. When no one's in the room, he goes like, do you see these cookies? Do you like sweets? There's a whole bunch of cupcakes over there. And no one's watching but the camera. But they're supposed to decide, would their kids take it or not? Would they lie or tell the truth? So the parents get up there and go like, oh, my kid always tells the truth. My kid's not going to take anything without asking. And the little robot says, they're sweets. You should have some. And 9 times out of 10, the kid goes over there and has some. And the parents are like, oh. Well, with that in mind, I found this. It's a letter from a mother. It's kind of typical of a mother's love. Dear sir, my son has been accepted into your university, and I am writing to appeal to you personally that you give him personal oversight when he arrives. I want you to make sure that he has a roommate who never uses foul language or tells off-color jokes, never drinks, and never chases girls. Now, I'm appealing to you personally because this is the first time my son has ever left home with the exception of the 4 years he spent in the Marine Corps. I was thinking about mothers in the Bible. Remember Mary, Jesus' mother? Where was she when he was on the cross? Right there at the cross. What kept her together? How many of you ever thought of that? How many of your moms ever thought about what Mary, Jesus' mother, was going through when he was on the cross? What held her together? Many of women would have had a nervous breakdown. They would have gone into shock. They would no longer be there. They wouldn't be on Sunday morning going to the tomb to anoint his body with spices and to be a blessing. Here are some of the things that I have come to. I believe that she understood that God had a plan for Jesus to fulfill. Now the angel came to her and said that in her would be born the Son of God. That which would be born of her would be of the Holy Ghost. She says, well, Lord, how am I going to have someone? I'm not pregnant. I haven't been with a man. And he says, it's going to be a divine child. He's going to be born without sin. And so Jesus was born, came into this world. But she learned that Jesus had a special plan, that God had a special plan for Jesus. She found this out particularly when they had to flee to Egypt so that Herod wouldn't kill her son. Remember, all the babies were killed in Bethlehem. Later on, you know, they were able to survive during that time because of the gifts of the Magi, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and things like that. And then later they would come back, and they came back and served. But at 12 years old, they went to the temple, and they went to Jerusalem to do the sacrifices that they would do every year. Jesus is 12, and he stays at the temple. Remember Samuel, who had been given to the Lord by Hannah? We're going to talk maybe about her in a little bit. How he served in the temple all his life. Well, Jesus is 12. He's been studying the scriptures. Matter of fact, he's asking the lawyers there, the Bible scholars, these big questions. And they're like, wow, where's this kid coming up with? He studied the Bible. He's got questions. He's got all kinds of insight. And so that's where he is. Well, 3 days into the trip home, mom and dad look around and go like, where's Jesus? Now, how many of you ever gone somewhere thinking that your kids are with the cousins? Oh, they're with the rest of the family. And you go like, hey, where's Jesus? I haven't seen him in a while. Like, well, I don't know. I thought he was with you. What would go through a mother's heart 3 days into a trip to realize her son's nowhere around? Now, she's going to be cool, calm, and collected and go like, well, I guess we just better go back and find him. I'm like, find him. Something's happened to him. And I'm sure she was the same. The only thing that scares me, if I know moms, like I know moms, is I don't want mom to have 3 days of worrying before she finds me. Right? All of that frustration and fear is going to come out on you. 3 days journey. I don't know if it took them 3 days to get back. Probably not. You know, a little bit more of a hurry to go back and find him quickly. But they searched all over for him. Where did they find him? In the temple. He said, son, where were you? You caused us all to worry. And he says, well, didn't you know it must be about my father's business? So what was he asking his mom? Didn't you realize that God's son and I have a special spiritual mission? But nonetheless, the Bible said, he submitted himself unto them and went with him. Could Jesus have stayed in the temple and fulfilled the duties? He could have. They said, oh, I need to go back for mom and dad. And he went back with them and he submitted himself. What do you think went through Mary's mind when he said that? I don't think he said it in a disrespectful way at all. That wouldn't be Jesus, would it? But mom is like, ah, where have you been? You worried us to death. And then, didn't you know I have to be about my father's business? It was like, bing, wait a minute. My son is God's son. How many of you moms have ever gotten frustrated or concerned about the direction of your kids or gotten tired or overwhelmed? Can you remember that your son or your daughter is God's son or daughter? He has lent you them to raise for a few years, and you're going to have to give them back. There was a lady in the Bible who had a son to raise. Actually, she had two sons and a daughter. But one of them, God was going to use in a special way. And when he was born, there was a law that every boy that was born was to be cast into the river and drowned. She hid that baby because she knew God had a special plan on his life. And by faith, she trusted God and made an ark of bulrushes when he was too big to keep quiet. And she put him in a basket in the river, remember, among the reeds, as we call cattails today, but they're Egyptian reeds. And they put him there and left his sister to watch while she had to go work because she was a slave. What did God do? She trusted God. God, you got something special in his life. I've gone as far as I can. I mean, we're only a few months into this youngster's life. I've got to trust you. By the way, every one of you that's raising a youngster for God, you have to trust God. You just can't do it yourself. Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the river and goes like, what's that floating over there in the cattails? I don't know. Let's go see. So her servants went over, brought it back. This basket, opened up the basket, and what is inside? Now what mother or what woman can resist a baby's crying? A guy, oh! A lady, oh. And what happened? Where's your mother? His sister comes running down. Would you like me to find someone that you could hire to take care of the baby? Yes, go get someone to take care of the baby. I can just, what do you think her mother's doing? Trust worry? Is there such a thing as trust worry? She's going like, God's going to take care of him. He's got a special plan. But he's out there in the cattails and that all by himself. And what? What if? What ifs? And in comes her daughter. Mom, they found Moses. Well, actually, they didn't have that name for him. That was named by Pharaoh's daughter. But they found baby. What'd they do? They want you to come right away. Punishment. Right? Punishment for not obeying the law. She was supposed to cast him in the river. She gets there, and the lady says, ma'am, would you be willing to nurse this baby for a fee? Would you take care of him for me till he's weaned and then bring him back? No. Yes, I'll do that. How did God work? How much time did she have with that child? Not very long. Bible doesn't say exactly. But when she took him back, at 40 years old, he decided that he wanted to be with God's people. What his mother had taught him left in him enough of a spark of spiritual matters for him to seek his God. Folks, or moms, you have a great responsibility. Mary, Jesus' mother, understood that she had a God, that God had a plan for her son. It was going to be difficult, and it was going to be painful, but it was going to be great. I don't know of any mother who hasn't shed tears over their kids and not gone through painful moments. But oh, what a blessing it is when God fulfills his plan in the life of one of their children. She was waiting at the cross for God to act. She was waiting for God's plan to unfold in the future of her son. She realized that her son was really God's son, and so she trusted God as she grieved by the cross. Mothers must do all that they can to protect their kids, but they must trust God to protect and work in their lives. They must learn when to let go. I read about an incredible miracle on one Mother's Day, according to the National News report. There was this 27-year-old dad who decided to take his two kids to the medical center in Massachusetts where their mother worked as a surgical nurse. After dropping off a gold necklace with the words, number one mom, and a rose, they went to the car in the underground parking and still thinking about mom, the dad gently set the three-month-old baby on top of the car and buckled in the two-year-old girl into her seat. Without thinking any further, Murray slid into the driver's seat and drove off, forgetting that Matthew was still on the roof. Driving slowly, he made his way through the busy streets toward the interstate, and amazingly, there was heavy traffic. But no one beeped or waved to warn him that anything was wrong. And so he merged upon the freeway and he hit 50 miles an hour, and that's when he heard it, a scraping on the roof of his car. He said, I looked to see where Matthew should have been in the car, and then in the rearview mirror, I saw him sliding down the highway in his infant seat. And that's where he landed, in the middle of the interstate, in the path of oncoming traffic. It just happened that an antique dealer was following, and he saw the whole event unfold, and this is what he said. I saw something in the air. At first, I thought someone had thrown some garbage out the window, and then I saw it, and I thought it was a doll. Then the doll opened its mouth, and I realized it was a little baby. And I mean, it just landed on the road, and it bounced a couple times, and it never tipped over. It just landed on the road and slid along. I slammed on my car brakes and turned my car around in the lane so that no other cars could go by. And I jumped from the car and I ran and found an uninjured baby in a damaged car seat. And I scooped him up in my arms and took him back and gave him to his petrified father. The true story has to be as close to a grade A miracle as anything you and I have ever experienced. And God intervened in that situation, or it would have gone terribly wrong. But mothers, your inborn instincts to protect and give care makes it a challenge to wait on God. But putting confidence in God with your family has great power to overcome. I was on Wednesday night the other night. We were actually this Wednesday. The men got done praying in the back, and the kids wanted to go out and play on the playground out here. And so they came up and asked one of the men, "Would you come out and watch us?" And they said, "I believe I can do that." So he went out to watch the kids, and some of the other men went out, and I was doing some other things. I couldn't go out quite yet to be with them. And they were out there, and all the ladies were visiting up here, and they hadn't given permission to the kids to leave yet. And so they come back, and they notice all the kids are out there on the playground, and all the mothers almost at once went, "Hey, there's no one watching the kids." And I said, "Oh, don't worry about it. The men are out there watching them." And I got this unanimous look from all the ladies like, "Oh, no." I said, "Well, I guess maybe no one is watching the kids." Because they sure do have a way of sneaking by on us guys. God made women special, and that's what saves your life. They are the ones that take care of the kids. And I want to encourage moms, we need you. But, you know, there are times when life gets difficult. And Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Being a mom's... A good mom is hard work. That's why a lot of people don't want the job. They'll pawn it off on somebody else. But you know what? You can't hire anybody that'll love your kids and direct them for God like you would. The second point that we want to cover today, and we're going to, before we run out of time, is women influenced by their worship. Worship means, according to John 4:24, they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We talked about what spirit means in our adult class. That's basically your attitude, your life, your breath, your being. Do you love God with all your being? A lot of ladies would have to say, "No, I love myself." That's why they don't love their kids. But if they love God, then they'll love the gift He's given them, and they'll raise Him for the Lord. And that's why I want to encourage you. In truth means sincerely, not only in words, but in deeds. You know how many mothers I've seen that claim to love their kids but don't? I know a lot of mothers that will parade their children around and brag on them so they get attention. But when there's no one around, they could care less about that kid. And that's a shame. If God's given you a little bundle of an eternal soul, you need to put your life resources into that child. It's a special gift. And so worship means your life gives God praise. And I want you to understand, your life's praise will be reflected to your children. They're going to see what a true love for God is in you. If a mother or a father, by the way, says they love God but lives for the world, what does the message truly come across to the kids? Church is just a thing to look good. Money and fame and fun is what life's all about. That's not the true message we want to get across. People can see that the reason you exist is God. Your relationship with your kids will be remembered forever. A few years ago, a Christian magazine asked people to share how much their mothers and grandmothers meant to them. A man from Taylor, Michigan, wrote about how his mom's faith impacted him. He said she grew up in the mountains of Virginia in a large family that was very poor. And though they had little, she didn't realize it, and she learned early on to be content. Her dad worked several jobs so her mom could stay home and raise five kids. And when she had her own family, even when times were hard, this godly mom focused on what was good, lived in the present, and looked forward to the future. After all her kids were grown and out of the house, she came down with cancer. And when her son came to visit her after the diagnosis, he found that she had not changed. She was still busy cooking, baking, doing laundry, and going about her normal activities. When he asked her about her cancer, she calmly replied, "Well, this is not my home. I have a home in heaven, so I'll be all right. So don't worry." That day her son saw a beauty in his mom he had not seen before. For in her affliction, she had become radiant. When she died, she was only 59. That son later became a pastor and wrote that over the years, he's seen so many others go to their heavenly home, just like his mom did, afflicted, but yet radiant. You see, there's no way for your teacher to teach your kids the grace and power of God unless you can exhibit it through the hard times of life. What kind of a legacy do you want to leave behind? Do you want financial security? There's been a lot of people that said they want their kids to have better than they have, and all they give them is money. Maybe you want your kids to have a strong work ethic. That's wonderful. But is that all there is to life? Oh, I want to be a mom that keeps myself in good shape. I don't want them to know what age I am. That's a goal. But there's a better. How about, boy, she was really kind and she cared about others, not just herself. She had encouraging words to say. They were spiritual words of encouragement. My, she was radiant. She was filled with God's peace and hope. Matthew 5, verse 14 and 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I have a note here, folks. You can't share what you haven't experienced. Hannah said, "My heart," remember Hannah, the one that prayed for a son? And she gave him to the Lord as soon as he was weaned. Remember Samuel? Here's what she said. "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." So raise them for God. Give them back to God. And then trust him. So many a mother has fretted because they don't realize they need to give their child back to God. Life may seem crazy at times, but be faithful. Here's a "Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep" poem by a mom. "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray my sanity to keep. For if some peace I do not find, I'm pretty sure I'll lose my mind. I pray I find a little quiet, far from the daily family riot. May I lay back, not have to think about what they're stuffing down the sink, or who they're with, or where they're at, or what they're doing with the cat. I pray for time all to myself, to cuddle in my nice soft bed, some silent moments for goodness sake. Oh, did I just hear a window break? And that I need, not cook and clean. Yes, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray my wits about me keep. But as I look around, I know I must have lost them long ago." You see, so many people think that a perfect mom always has a perfect composure. That is exactly what everyone else thinks it should be. But sometimes a mom has to do some other things. You see, moms influenced by their words. In Proverbs 31:26, it talked about the words of wisdom. And so I have an illustration here. Words my mother never said. You ready? "How on earth can you see the TV sitting so far back? Just leave the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery. Curfew is just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. Go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed and walk him for you every day." "Well, if Jennifer's mama said it's okay, that's good enough for me. Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week. Don't bother wearing a jacket. The wind chill is bound to improve. Yeah, I used to skip school a lot too. I don't have a tissue with me, so just use your sleeve." Some things a mom would never say. You know, mothers, they need to speak gentle words. But correct your kids. They need it. Words have power. If I was to say, "Would everyone rise?" Everybody would stand. Because words have power. Moms, there's power in your words. Use them wisely and use them. People respond to gentleness, of course, better than harshness, so let's keep a balance and let's teach them to be kind. Reprimand them when they're being obstinate and keep on doing the most influential job in the world. Happy Mother's Day. If you're faithful, someday you might be able to say, and your kids understand these words. I loved you enough to bug you about where you were going, with whom, and what time you were going to get home. I loved you enough to insist that you buy a bike with your own money that you could afford. I loved you enough to make you return a Milky Way with a bite out of it to the drugstore and confess that you had stolen it. I loved you enough to stand over you for 2 hours while you cleaned your room, a job that I could have done in 15 minutes. I loved you enough to let you see anger, disappointment, and disgust and tears in my eyes. I loved you enough to not make excuses for your lack of respect or your bad manners. And I loved you enough to admit that I was wrong and I asked for your forgiveness. I loved you enough to ignore what every other mother did or said, and I loved you enough to let you stumble, fall, hurt, and fail. I loved you enough to let you assume responsibility for your own actions at age 6, 10, 16. And I loved you enough to accept you for what you are, not what I wanted you to be. But most of all, I loved you enough to say no when you hated me for it. And that was the hardest part of all. Thank you, moms, for what you've done for your children. And those who are still raising them, don't give them to someone else. Raise them for the Lord. Only you can love them as you do. Let's go ahead and close. Hymn number 249. The hymn today is Just As I Am. You know, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, today would be a good day to accept Him in your heart and let Him help you raise a family that's going to turn out to be glorious for Him.